You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Reborn. It's interesting, you know. Well, welcome to Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio, on Ever Beyond Radio, on Wolf Spirit Radio, I am stoked, as you say. The reason I'm stoked is because I think my internet issues have finally been fixed. I'm crossing my fingers, I'm crossing my toes, I'm crossing every possible part of my body to make this real. And the tension has really, really taken its toll on me. Hang on a second. What you're doing? No, don't go away. What happened? The tension has really taken its toll on me, where did you go? What happened? Right, there we go. Let's bring it back in. I've had it gives me a real pain right in the thing, and it's just about like being listened to. It's like, you know, this really, really like being faced with an implacable thing that you can't do anything about. It felt very powerless for me and disempowering. And try as I might, I wanted, want to do good work and, put the truth out for everybody, or as much as the truth as I can get, la di da di da. And yet I'm being blocked by this stupid piece of wire. Anyhow, I had a lovely letter today, because the other day I said to them, when I was working in your business, I could do this. Just give me the logs and I can fix it. Here are my logs. Match them against yours. And give me somebody who can bloody do it. And they actually did. And a nice man called Christopher gave me a nice little graph of all the times, and acknowledging all the times that I've been disconnected. And, it was these, big stripes that had these huge cuts across them, all disconnected times. And, it was the last few months of service or lack of service. And he could see exactly what was going wrong, and he had made an adjustment this afternoon. We were offline momentarily, and then I came back online, and I don't seem to have had any problems since then. And not only that, I've got an increased bandwidth. It's not as big as fiber, but it's big enough for me to do video in. So, I want to put a big, big thank you, and thank you everybody, to send out to British Telecom, and thank you very much to the nice engineers to fix my system. And so, to that end, I can talk to people without falling off the air. And Deb, hello, how are you?
Oh my God, I'm so excited for you!
Yeah. Oh, you sound as excited as I feel inside. I'm trying to be all hello, darling, yes. But that's how I feel inside. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, I couldn't wait. I heard the tail end of the last show and the first part, and I was going to write you a little thing and go, I just love you. And then you said you were excited about something, and I'm waiting to hear that the show cut off. Mm-hmm. So then I was listening to the first part. That is awesome. So, you manifested it. We're at fingers crossed that it's happening.
I decided to become proactive in it.
Okay, said, yeah, the squeaky wheel.
And pushing the wheel rather than waiting for the wheel to roll over me.
No. Okay. You already had that before. We don't want to do that again.
We don't need that. As I said, this is a special day for me personally, because 30 years ago, exactly, I hit into a car, and I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I thought, if there was
it's time, full circle, now things will go good again.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and I think this is possibly the key thing,
Okay.
Is that, you know, I always think, oh, I've had such an easy, sheltered life. I think I've actually been, they've tried to assassinate me several times and I haven't even noticed. I'm so thick that I don't even know when somebody's trying to kill me.
Stop.
I'm the opposite of paranoid. I'm unannoyed.
Yeah, you're the other way.
Yeah.
How's that? That's pronomia, I think they call it.
Pronomia. Pronoia is, but it's the sense that I'm okay and the world is okay and everything's fine. Yeah, that's pronoia. But that actually people really are out to get me, or they were, and apparently.
Well,
here's the thing.
The light attracts the dark a lot. You
yeah.
know.
And, here's the thing that I heard that, there was an assassination program. That was going on and that had been, running until 1986, the middle of 1986. And so I was wondering if I was like one of their last hits.
Last one.
Yeah.
The last
and it's like, screw it, he survived. Bugger.
Yeah, because when you listed all the things in chat yesterday, I was like, oh my goodness. I thought I had some things. You had it all at once and a lot. With the liver and all the things you broke. And,
up until that time, I had not broken a bone. Up until that time, no, I had broken a bone and I had been in hospital. I was, you know.
Oh, thank God.
I was fat and healthy, you know.
Really. Yes.
In rude health and essentially I was smashed to pieces, splattered on.
Yeah.
And I realized.
Literally.
That it's quite possible that that man who was driving the car was somehow,
Like he was one of the, on the Princess Diana hits, maybe?
Well, I don't know. No, he was a baker, but I think perhaps, you know, the most paranoid part of me says that he was mind controlled to stop in the carriage because he could have just pressed the accelerator.
I know, it's weird how it happened.
Because he turned and then stopped right in the middle of the road, the opposite direction, with his headlight coming towards him very quickly. And instead of putting the foot on, instead of not doing it in the first
place,
he just froze. And I went, bang.
Yeah. And then your buddy hit you from behind or something, too?
Yeah, it went to me from behind. Bam, bam. So, you know, you'd think somebody wouldn't survive that sort of thing. But
exactly. Hello.
I wouldn't have survived that sort of thing.
You did.
We didn't notice my broken hip.
Wow.
So there was so much mess that I've realized that now, you know, my body is full of these little bone fragments and it causes much pain in my feet and it makes me unable to walk because of tiny fragments of bone that is kind of gently and slowly exiting my body after 30 years.
Gross.
Yeah, it's weird.
I've got metal thing ties holding me together inside. Okay, I didn't even know these
cable
were
ties
there.
Cable ties and
what are they?
Or the medical equipment of.
It's gross. The years are coming out. That's good, but it'll be better when they're all worked their ways out.
Yeah. I'll see if maybe I need to eat more oily things and allow the, you know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or, you know, something that can reabsorb the, you know, bone fragment.
Yes. Yeah, and pull it out. Yeah.
So how are you doing?
I know when you were writing all that in chat, I was in between shock because I knew about it, but I didn't know the details and like getting sick.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty gross. I mean,
That's okay. Hey, that's good though. You can talk about it and in detail and all that because 30 years. Wow, man.
Well, you know, and I've been talking about trauma, you know, and
yes, you have.
that was the thing that I actually got PTSD from because it was the pain actually. The shock of there was this pain that came.
Well, and the shock of the accident because there's two different things. Yeah. I have both also, and there's the shock and the pain, but that's hard when your body takes a. You probably were knocked out of your body for
a
while.
Exactly.
Well, that's why you were. You were in a coma.
That's what I was going to say is that when in the sort of the healing months after that, you know, all of 1986, I spent going to various practitioners and I eventually.
And you thought you weren't a healer.
Yeah. Well, this is where I went to the this is where I went to the alternative zone and I met a healer who I talked about last night. And then I met this other guy, right? So he was a chiropractor and I was then able to walk and everything at that point. And he said something that I didn't understand at the time, but now makes total sense. Okay, so I'm traveling 60 miles an hour. Okay. And so is my astral body and so is my mental body. And we're all traveling together, right?
Yeah.
In the wind. Motorcycle. And then suddenly, bam!
And they all fly different ways.
They're not being stopped by the metal of the car. They're traveling forward.
Right.
And
right.
They're kind of held on a kind of sort of gooey elastic. And they come to a halt about 3 or 4 feet in front of me.
Right.
Like 9 or 10 feet in front of me. So, yeah, literally, I'm knocked out of my body.
Yeah.
And
because that's what it felt. Yeah.
Ugh. And so this guy tells me, and, you know, I didn't know anything about subtle bodies then, that
you're like, huh?
That, you know, he was like, oh, wow. And, you know, he did some things. You know, he said, OK, just sit on the table. First time I touched it. And he touched the back of my neck.
OK.
Just with his fingertip. And I tell you, I jumped like somebody had put 200 volts.
Wow.
On. You know, he was an amazing guy. He was, from Texas. He was called Lynn. Amazing guy. And, anyway, so he told me that my bodies were, you know, a few feet in front and he helped them kind of go back with these interesting movements. But still, I think, once they've gone out, they're a bit loose. It's a bit like, you know.
Yeah.
It's a bit like when
you. Well, that's probably what makes you so creative and what makes me so weird and why we get along. That's a good thing, I think. I think it's a good thing.
It's what happens when you take your iPhone or you take your iPad apart, you know.
Yeah.
You put it back together, but you know what it's like inside.
Yeah.
So it's not the same. It's not the magical, amazing thing because you've seen what it's like from the inside.
Right.
It's a bit like sometimes when you have a lover that you've never met and it's like you imagine what they're like, but you don't know what they're like on the inside. Yet, you know, you wake up the next morning and.
Yeah, you think they're the class meow and then all of a sudden you're like, it's the kitty litter box.
Boy, was I wrong about that. Yeah. So losing the magic of it, and waking up, and so I woke up on the 13th of February.
Wow!
And it had been snowing, and I was in a hospital, and they had these huge windows, and it was really warm because they keep hospitals warm. So I thought it was the middle of summer. You know, I really what the was going on. I really did not know. And I thought I was a journalist. But anyway,
I heard you say that somewhere.
That's for a couple of weeks' time. That's for a couple of weeks' time. because, you know, at this moment, this is my Lent period, my period where I go deeply into stuff and history and, you know, biology and geography and maybe some physics. But I go, you know, and do self-examination and
looking at everything that was and where you're at and where you want to go.
And how it's doing. And I have to say, Deb, today I feel actually it's like the death of that old.
Yes, you know, it is.
With the internet, I do feel reborn.
Oh, that's
a very interesting thing. So.
So wait, I missed part of the thing when I called and I was trying to listen. So you got a letter, and what did the letter say? I missed kind of how it happened.
Oh, right.
I knew the guy came out, and then you kind of complained, not complained, but you
I did.
Said,
yeah,
hey.
I complained bitterly.
Yeah.
Bitterly I complained. I really did. It was like, you know, I was a whiny bitch. And I decided that I was going to be a whiny bitch for days until I get something done. So
okay, sometimes that's what you got to do. And you're determined. Remember our last call somewhere? You were like, "This has got to happen.
Got to make it happen." Our support team have replied to your question. It says here. So let's have a quick look.
Okay.
And it was very. Okay. I don't know. You tell me whether this was a fair a fair thing. Let me just see.
Okay.
Whether I was being really whiny bitch or I was being horrible. So they send me all the usual stuff. Have you checked your socket? Yeah. Check this. Yes. There we go. 22nd of January, Friday. Thank you for your patience, Mr. Barry. Our suppliers have informed us that they have cleared a fault on your line. They believe this has rectified the issue you reported to us. Your response. Dear support team, your supplier sent an engineer, yes. He simply plugged the line tester into my phone socket. The weather was calm. He found, obviously, no issues, of course. My problems happen in two circumstances. First, I get disconnections at 7 p.m. and 11 p.m., both at peak times for me, and I'm heavily relied upon at that moment. The second circumstance is when the wind is blowing from the west. I was trying to set up a broadcast to 180 people today, and I was disconnected exactly at the moment it started. This is more than frustrating. I'm trying to give a service to people, and you are doing nothing for me. You don't care. You just care about money, not service. I've tried to get a decent service for you for 2 years now. It is still useless. I attached the log.
Good.
Do something about it, JP.
Good. is that a whiny bitch. That was very nice, whiny bitch, but it was perfect. You're letting them know the truth. Like, hey, this is a situation. Pay attention to me.
So I then attached the log, and then again today, more disconnections during live events. Here is the event log. I'm an experienced computer tech with over 35 years in the field. When I was working with networks and emails, even in the 1980s, which is probably before most of these people were born, we were able to trace terminals, hackers, faults easily through the event logs. I suggest you examine mine and match them with yours and tell me what is going on. Do you have someone who does that? Instead of measuring wire resistance, a proper troubleshooter, I am so tired of it. I am trying to solve what is an essential issue for me. Please acknowledge that you understand this. My skills and earnings are via live events online. Without a reliable internet connection, I cannot work. I am losing my reputation because of this poor service. You are the weakest link in an essentially strong chain. Uploaded file attachment.
Well done.
There you go.
And overdue.
Yeah.
You finally got to the point where you're just like, that's it.
So I then get a reply from Christopher. I won't give his name.
I like that name.
CSC analyst.
Okay.
Now I'm getting some tech. All right. Internal WP profile, generic speed 7900, no timeout. Radius connected to 518A. 3 drops in last 24 hours, 9 drops in last 72 hours. See, their machines tell me I'm right. Tell them I'm right. And there's this big chart on my screen here, and it's got the points where, you know, it's a log of all the points where my stream actually dropped. Yes.
Wow.
They've been actually listening. Okay. So, dear Mr. P, thank you for your continued patience and apologies for the delay in getting back to you. I have tested the line today and can see that some of the settings on your line are set incorrectly.
Yes. Hello.
I believe that these settings are causing the issue on your line. To rectify this, I have placed an order on your line to have the settings updated to make the line more stable. This order will complete within one working day. I have also performed a reset called an SNR reset on your line. This will take approximately 4 hours to complete, which should see an instant improvement.
One day and 4 hours?
Yeah, just
that's all they mean?
Get this.
Okay.
After this, the line will enter a 10-day retraining period. A little like the 10-day training period from when you first joined us. And we request that your router be left powered on with as little interruption as possible. Yeah. If after 3 days you do not see any significant ongoing improvements, please let us know. We may need to investigate further. If you believe the issue has been resolved, blah, 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 blah. So that is the resolution of my revolution of consciousness. So proactive. If people feel, the phrase of the week is better light a candle than complain about the wind. About the wind. But candle is the wind. Thinking about candle, it's an Elton John song. No. Idiot. Start again.
No.
Better light a candle than curse the darkness.
The wind thing though.
Get it? Yeah, so, you know, instead of complaining about things, become proactive.
So,
there we go.
I'm excited for you. It's happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, happy death day. It's my death day, so I'm happy. This is the happiest death day I've had for a long, long time. So, very good. The angel of
rest. And you found $20 in your pocket when you were doing the laundry. I saw that at the very end.
Let me give
it. I was laughing.
Let me give everybody the free secret. Here's a free secret.
Yeah. Now,
if you're poor or you feel that you don't have any money, you have to use these very specific words, and I'll say them very slowly. I can use more money. Repeat after me.
I can use more money. Money.
Very specifically, right? Because
and you don't have to put in now, after it, or anything, because I always want to put now, but you just say those.
Yeah, it's just a statement of fact. It's not about, here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not about attracting money into your life. That's not what it's about. It's telling the universe that you are able to handle more money.
Okay.
And that you're capable, and that you're positive, and that you're proactive about it. And that if you were to be given money, you'd use it, which is true.
Yep.
So, because here's the thing. Everybody says, I don't have enough money. Well, then you don't have enough money. And you'll never have
it. Right.
Because you're saying to the universe, I don't have enough money. So,
exactly.
Delete that. I can use more money. I can use more money. I can use more money. We all can use more money. Everybody, please repeat after me. I can use more money. And see what happens. Tell me if anybody gets it, because I tell you, it happens every time. Every time. And indeed,
it happens because I tend to run, like, I'll be fine, right? I have a set kind of thing and everything's fine. And then I have a need, right? And it could be a big one. And I always think, oh my gosh. But then I just go, this is going to happen. I don't know how. I don't know when. And then it does come in. And sometimes out of strange places. So I've never said those words. So I'll give it a whirl. I'm giving it a whirl. I can use more money. Uh-oh, did I?
No. Again, let's practice it. I can use more money. Our egos, are affected in this. This is very
important.
Our ego is part of this verbalization, because you're making your ego say it. And the ego has all the ego is the source of all the excuses in the world.
Right. All the reasons why not, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
the why machine.
And the ego will try and twist it to make it more like its program, which of course doesn't work, which is why you're poor. Right. You see?
So
you don't have any money. It's because your ego is going around believing for you that you don't have any money.
Exactly. So I'm guilty of it. Yep.
Yeah. So
when
you say I can. Yes, we can.
I can. It's kind of like I am. I can.
Yeah, exactly. I can is a statement of fact. I can use money.
Right.
I know how to use money. It's, you know, I can. I have permission.
I know how to use it.
Or, you know, I may use more money. Yes, I have permission to use more money. I can use more money. I know how to exchange money for things. Yeah.
Right.
So by telling the universe that. Now there was another one, which is about releasing the expectations that you have on where you get money from.
Right, I heard that one lady say that.
Yes, that was Rachel, and I can't bloody remember it. So if Rachel's listening.
Oh, it was something like, I allow money to flow to me from expected and unexpected places, or something like that. Or I accept the flow of money to me from unexpected places. I don't remember it exactly.
From
either.
Expected and unexpected places. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Thank you. So yeah.
Yeah.
And it was.
I love Rachel too.
Yeah,
my God.
She's gorgeous.
I think I listened to that show just to wait for her.
She is a bit of a star. She's been on this show. She's been on Journeys.
I know. I heard it. She was on at the same time as that lady with the president grandfather. You did a double show.
Laura, yes.
Yeah. I like her too, but Rachel just blew me away.
All right. Well, two absolute goddesses. I mean,
yes.
Rachel, the cosmic goddess, and 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 Laura the Galactic Goddess, sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, she's cool too. Oh, well, congratulations. I don't want to hog your whole show. I just heard it and I got, I got all excited. You can't, you know me, I'm the excitable one. So I was just like, oh my God. I had to call you. I was thinking about calling you, but when I was listening to the first part of you on Station A with Dr., or whatever his name is, Roe, I was laughing. I was sitting at lunch. Nobody was there. I had a late lunch and I had an earplug in my thing and I was listening on my phone and I was laughing. I bet people thought I was like, you know, needed medication. I don't know why I was laughing because you couldn't tell really I was listening to the phone. But then I had to leave, you know, and come home. And when I got home, I turned on B and then that's what I heard, you know, I was like, oh, so I was all excited. Don't mind.
Oh, excellent. So. the Drive Time Show, and you can hear it in your car radio as well.
Yes. If I on my car phone. No, on my phone, my cell phone.
On your cell phone.
And so I just put the number in that they have for. I can't do it for you for Wolf Spirit, but I can do it for Revelation Radio.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Now I can't talk. That's right. I'm like the girl yesterday that can't talk. I was laughing. I'm like, oh, that's just Mercury retrograde.
Oh,
it's over now, though. It just went direct. Yes. When did you get the letter?
It was this afternoon. I got a text at 4 o'clock UK time on my mobile, and it says, because like, you can imagine my
you have won the lottery.
Yeah, you can imagine what my response to this Plusnet. We have now resolved the issue on your line. Please monitor over your line over the next few days to confirm. If you have any further issues, then please.
I would have freaked out.
And I thought, right. Yeah, here we are.
Yeah, right. That would be like, I'd look at it going, is this real? Are you kidding me?
You know, it's just like waiting for Nisara. Honestly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so but apparently that's coming through as well. Nisara's, you know, these programs and all this.
Oh, really? I heard about that forever, but I haven't heard it in a while. So
RVs, you know, the RV, the revaluation of the Iraqi dinar and all that stuff.
Yes, yes.
Apparently it's all starting to happen.
See, I don't watch a lot of that anymore, but okay, cool.
So
I know things are really shifting. I started feeling it about April or May last year. Then August, all of a sudden, even though I didn't even break up, we just, whatever happened with that whole thing with that guy, all of a sudden I was just in love for no reason. I've never been like that. I always knew it was possible. And I've been kind of there ever since. I mean, I'm not always there. And then I felt another shift. Gosh, around right before New Year's. And then I just felt another one this weekend. And I can always tell a lot just by how I act and how I am. And I've been needing to sleep a lot for no reason also. So I know there's like a ton going on energetically. So it's kind of exciting. Well, I'm
amazing. So, yeah, the sleep thing. Deb, now... Not everybody knows who you are. You are a retired color healer, right?
Yes.
And,
yeah.
And so you've
I should change
you've had
the word for that.
Yeah, you should just say color healer. But one of the things that, you know, you had lots of people, and can you talk about the role of sleep in self-healing, please?
Well, there's several things with it. First, it gets your ego consciousness out of the way, then you need the oxygen and your body, physical body kind of needs all of its energy to go into whatever it's trying to do. And energetically, I swear, when I sleep a lot, because I don't anymore, but when I was really sick, I did too. And some people would do it when they're depressed too, but it's a way to get you out of this dimension, out of this plane, at least that's the way I feel. I'm, you know, this is just what I get. And then it lets things move around. And maybe you move around, like people say. I don't remember a lot of my dreams. When I do, it's like, wow. But I know a lot goes on. And people tell me they see me everywhere. Like, you know, oh, I saw you last night, and you were doing this, and na-na-na-na-na. But it It's something there. We need it. There is no lie. Maybe we won't one day, but on this dimension, the way the energies are right now, you need it. And it seems like when you sleep a lot, or when I do lately, I don't know how to say it, because you're processing energy. Maybe you're reconfiguring in your physical or in your cells, in your space, to hold more light and to let go of things or to rearrange things. I'm not really sure. It's just, I know it's necessary and it has something to do with that. What do you think?
Well, you know, it was about 2-3 years ago. I can't remember exactly when it was. I could tell you exactly, but I think it was about 2013, sometime middle of that. I woke up one morning and it wasn't like a voice to skull.
But
it wasn't like a voice in my skull. It wasn't like I couldn't hear it like vibrating my head, but I could hear it very strongly in my inner voice.
Wow.
Your requested upgrade has been installed.
See, that's it. It's upgrade. That's a perfect word for it. I've been telling everybody lately they're being upgraded. And to just not worry about what's going on.
And the first thing that they said was that you've got to stop eating meat. Stop eating death.
Oh, I remember you saying that.
Do you remember
that? I heard you.
Stop eating death.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
And ever since then, I've started to become more and more healthy as I realize all the death and all that industrial food that everybody is subject to. That's
no life
death.
Force.
No life
right,
force.
No good.
It's dead.
No lower vibration.
No chi in it. No prana in it.
Right. Yeah. And I still eat some of it. I do. But I don't eat a lot. And I definitely take, say, pray. But I definitely do a thankful thing. And I'm supposed to shoot energy at it, but I don't always. But I'm thankful. And I ask it to nourish me, and I thank it. If it was alive at some point for its life, I do that even with the vegetables because they have feelings too.
Absolutely.
People don't know that.
Absolutely. I opened a little jar of duck pate today. My God, she buys me these things and it's like, oh man, I've got to partake in them because, you know, they're gifts and stuff, but, you know, it's duck pate, you know, and so I, as you know, I'm thanking her. Thank you, duck. And you know, as I said, you know, I have had a massive injury 30 years ago to the day. So
yeah.
I've been stocking. I've been eating quite a lot of liver. You know,
honor the liver and rebuild the. Yeah,
I tell you because no, I'm not kidding. Because
I know.
In 1986, when it happened, it was the first, when I woke up, it took me, I couldn't speak and I couldn't walk. My muscles were completely atrophied. It's amazing. You can spend 3 weeks doing absolutely nothing. If you sleep for 3 weeks, your muscles atrophy and you cannot.
Yeah. I was in a chair for 5 years. I could barely walk and now I'm out dancing. Don't
Excellent.
Tell anybody.
Excellent.
But it does. Everything kind of. If you lose it, if you don't use it.
So I couldn't even lift a paper cup if it had water in it.
Wow.
That was, you know, so.
Well, you were in a coma too. Yeah. I've never been in one of those, thank God.
All right. Well,
talk about that's the deepest sleep you can get. I was taught like when people have Alzheimer's, they're in a coma. You don't think they're there. Like you think because physically, but they are there. They may not be attached to the body, but they're doing something, you know? So
I tell you, this meat suit was asleep. This meat suit was fast asleep.
Yeah. But your spirit,
it was messed
up. Your spirit was. Three miles ahead of that rat or whatever.
Well, I was somewhere else, I was probably like, you know, a couple of feet above looking down. And probably that's why, you know, people have these accidents and they look down upon their body. It's because they've been knocked out of their bodies because of the trauma of it. Because of the, you know, the actual blunt force of having a crash. Their
that's
bodies
how my brother
moving.
Died.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad you're still here because he needed to go, I guess. And it was a motorcycle too.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't, you know, apparently.
Yep. Men. I know. Well, look what happened to you. I mean, it's pretty severe, you know.
Many men do not reach 25. That's just a fact.
Yes.
You know,
wow. Hey, a lot of them aren't even born. I read the study once that said, I don't know what it is about the female gene combination, but males are a little weaker, and they're not always born. I read that a long time ago, and now something's really going on with the male genome with all the chemicals. But anyway, I'm sidetracking. So back to the liver. Your liver.
Yeah, so anyway. So I spent a week kind of recovering, gradually building up my muscles. It doesn't take much, but, you know, the first night, of course, I won't even go into that. I won't say that.
Like being like kindergarten, you got to learn everything about how to move your body.
I just hadn't any strength. It was just incredible. And, it really took me to the point. There was a certain philosophical moment that happened for me, which was when I finally did kind of come round 3 weeks later, I looked at the flowers. People had given me flowers, obviously. They brought flowers.
Aww.
And somebody had given me a lily. And, that is the most elegant, beautiful structure.
I love lilies.
And I saw the structure of it, I thought, nobody can construct that. It has to build itself all the way by itself from the inside out.
Thought. What you had to do.
That was the whole point of it. That to bring me to that moment of the wonder of nature. That's summations of it.
Well, that's good. A lot of people would have taken a different path. They would have looked at the lily and go, I can't move anything. I hate my life.
Well, I was meditating earlier and I was thinking, shall I go back and fix my timeline and,
it got you where you're at.
Yes, because I was thinking, could I go back and, press on the press on the gas pedal? So that
Class
speeds out
of
the way, and then I zoom past, and it never happened.
Right. Right.
And then I thought,
need to? Do you feel like you need to?
Well, I was kind of thinking about this and debating whether to do it, and I thought, here I am. Just let's just release the trauma of it and not try and change the past, because it is as it is, and there was a karmic event that went on in there, which...
Yep.
Yeah, I'll talk about that, which is...
And you wouldn't have learned everything you did without it. Maybe we could in the future, but then you couldn't have.
I wouldn't be here. I really wouldn't be here, because I wouldn't have anything to talk about. I wouldn't have had any experiences that would have brought me to this place. You see?
That is it. I used to tell my mom when I was little, I'm sure you know, well, they're all used to me, but I used to say... I'm here to experience as much as possible. And I knew I was here to learn to love and be loved. Those are the only two things. I just knew. And I think that's for a lot of us. And it is all just experiences. It's what we take from it, what we get, and where it leads us. It's pretty weird. It's pretty amazing.
Mm.
That is so cool, JP. So now how did it get back to the pate?
I think maybe for Christmas, because me and my girlfriend, we're poor, so we buy each other sort of things that we get from the
cat shop. You're abundant in different ways.
Yeah, we can do other things, and we have a good enough life. But she bought me, just for the Christmas meal, this like a selection of little jars of terrine, of liver patty, of all these different beasts from Lidl's. Lidl's is this German supermarket that is all over Britain.
And okay.
Because if you like delicatessen kind of stuff, they've got the best, and it's really, really cheap. Really cheap Emmental cheese and the good stuff, brie.
Okay.
And, cooked meats. And our favorite is the selection of stuffed vine leaves and stuffed chili peppers. It's a little smorgasbord. Everything's in olive oil, all drowning in olive oil. And it's all like pecan peppers with cheese, cream cheese stuff. Absolutely fantastic. Just like, oh my God. And, as a treat, she brings one, it's like when she really wants to get on my side.
I was going to say,
she's been behaving badly.
Uh-oh. Wait.
Yeah.
She's a fellow Virgo. I have to say that.
When she's in the doghouse, this is her offering.
So. Okay. Well, she did good. She did good. Yeah. So she anyway, brought you so, all these treats.
So anyway, she bought me these jars, and they're actually lovely little jars. They would make a nice little candle holder or something like that.
Right.
Just the size, you know, twice the height of a tea light or something like that. Anyway, six little jars, all with there's dark and there's boar. And there's venison, there's rabbit, and there's goose, and there's, you know, and I think I've just finished.
Oh, my goodness, and you haven't been eating that much meat, and now you got everybody there.
Exactly. But it's, you know, it's quite, it looked very non-industrial. It looked pretty,
right.
It's like kind of home, you know, sort of not.
Hesitation, it was honorable. It was honorable. It seemed honorable.
And yes. Every jar got many thanks for all the creatures.
Ah, good.
And that's the thing is about being in the right relationship with it, because
exactly
if you curse your food, I'll tell you how people curse their food. They say, oh, it's naughty. I shouldn't eat this. This is so bad for me.
Oh, it's what? What? It's what?
Naughty. It's so bad naughty? For me. It's naughty. You know, naughty.
Oh, naughty. I'm sorry. Maybe my phone, it was muffled. I couldn't. Yeah, it's naughty. It's not good for. You know what I was taught when I was getting taught healing and stuff? Is whatever you say when you're taking it in, whether it's a thought, an emotion, or a food, that's what it'll be energetically in your body. And supposedly, energetically, maybe, you know, I don't know, that we can pass through a lot of toxins. But it's how we're looking at it. And it all comes back anyway to me lately, us against them. There is no such thing. That's why there's so much autoimmune. It's like, who are you fighting? What are you fighting against? And if you're fighting your very food,
exactly. Exactly.
You
know, they literally curse food. And
I know.
Curse other people's
I know a lot
food.
Of people that do that.
Yeah. I mean, people will curse your food. You know, well,
they do.
That. Yeah.
I just smile. Yeah. Say, I love you. They're used to me around. Oh, thank goodness I'm in a town that there's a lot of us like that are kind of happy. I know that's a rare thing.
Happiness, yes. So listen, yeah. We're joined by area code 870. Who's that and where are you?
The Stardust Man, Arkansas,
the land of crystals.
Oh yeah, Palladium.
And Northern Arkansas.
How are you? What was your name? Stardust Man.
Daryl.
Hello, Daryl. How are you doing, mate?
Okay. We've talked before. I got a question about hair before I ask the question, I wanted to mention, you know, your little problem with your internet and I had a problem with my trash service, you know, and they didn't get by and they didn't pick it up. And I called them just like, you know, just shortly before they cooled down for the day and so they said, well, the driver's here and he says, well, I picked up the trash and I said, no, you guys didn't come up on my street. I said, nobody's trash on the street's been picked up. And he says, well, if we skipped you, we're going to come by and pick your trash up. I said, what about everybody else's trash? He says, no, we're just going to come up and pick up your trash. So I said, okay. So immediately I went out and knocked on my neighbor's doors and told him, call him, tell him your trash wasn't picked up too. And we got our trash picked up.
Yay.
Anyway, the question I had about the hair is, I want to call receptors, you know, antennae, you know, whatever you want to call, you know, long hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know the hair at the like at the back of the head and the neck, you know, that it don't never grow very long at all. But it seems like way finer. Is that like a special receptor picking up special signals?
What an interesting concept.
That's a good question, yeah.
Well, look, here's the thing. Let's talk about some things. First of all, if you were to take a microscope or a, you know, magic TV camera and zoom in on a hair. Let's say that it's got, you know, you're looking at something that is like a kind of armadillo skin, you know, it's like plated, like a, what's it, asparagus, kind of thing. If you take a piece of metal, a rod, yeah, or even a piece of wood, a long, long stick, you put one end in a clamp and you hit the other end, it will vibrate. Okay.
Right.
And the, what's called the period of vibration, which is the wavelength or in time, is relevant to the width, or the diameter of the rod and its length. Like a guitar string or a harmonica, tongue or a marimba tongue or, you know, the length of something determines its note, basically. A big thing has a low frequency and a little thing has a small, has a high frequency, you know, and that's the way it goes, you know, so a big bell has a big, low sound and a little bell. So, if you now apply that to the tiny little thin hairs, you're talking, things that can be vibrated by a particular frequency. Now, when you stand in front of a loud speaker at a rock concert and the organist plays the note, you can feel that in your body because your skin is vibrating and the hairs on your skin are being vibrated against your trousers. Or your pants, sorry, your pants. certain frequencies affect certain parts of the body. Certain frequencies build parts of the body. But going back to your point is that yes, at the back of the neck connected with your spine are tiny little hairs. Tiny little hairs inside your middle ear enable you to hear high frequencies. That's how it works. So yeah, you're hearing with your skin. How about that?
So kind of what I'm understanding is those, you got your long hairs that receive a signal and you have your finer, shorter hairs that receive a signal. And, combination between the two of them, they can find the direction where that signal is coming from.
Well, yeah, there's triangulation as well, but I mean, what we've really got to get behind is the fact that we are a sensorium.
Yeah.
We are a probe for a higher dimensional being that is what we call me or I. We are, this body is the avatar for it. The meat suit is a body and it's a sensorium. It's got lots of sensors. It's got sensors for heat, cold, light, dark. It's able to vary, you know, it's like having a digital camera. Remember the first digital cameras, you know, 20 pixels and you've got this kind of blurry thing. And now we're up to like 17 megapixels and it's, you know, 2400 by, you know, 2000. And, you know, you're, grain size, your detail size is much finer. And the details are provided by those tiny, tiny little sensors or hairs. Now, what are channels? I mean, there are frequency bands. Same as you got the FM, the AM, the long wave, medium wave, those are called frequency bands. Those frequency bands relate in the same way that, you know, for instance, we see on one set of frequencies, we hear on another set of frequencies, we sense heat and cold on another set of frequencies, infrared. We hear other people's thoughts through the ultrasonic frequency bands. And that is where these tiny hairs come in. Because these tiny hairs can pick up ultrasonic frequencies. Another thing that we sense with our skin, we can sense the flushing and draining of blood in our face.
Yep.
Which if you were to time-lapse photograph, you would see that people are sending Morse code to each other in infrared signals.
It's true. That's so cool. We're sending and receiving transmitters.
It makes me wonder, you know, the people that shave themselves totally all their hair, what do they feel, you know?
Well, that's a very interesting thing, because what do prisoners get? What's the first thing that people get when they go into prison? Or into an army, or into any institution, their hair is shaved.
Yep.
And yes, you're absolutely right. And I'm sure you're aware of the experience that the U.S. Army had when they were trying to send trackers in Vietnam. Do you want to tell the people the story? I've told it so many times. You tell the story.
Yes, it was very interesting. The Army did an experiment taking the Native Americans and testing their tracking abilities to use them in Nam. And it was so very successful, they decided to go ahead with it. So then they recruited and brought them in. And the first thing they did is they shaved their hair off. And they lost their ability to track.
Damn.
And the story.
That's all you need to know right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. And from that moment on, when I read that article in 2000, I thought, in 2010, both Dave and I, Dave Corso and I, we never cut our hairs again. We were Samson, you know, and, although my hair it never seems to grow. It's like a little straggly bit on the back, and I got a beard. I can grow beard, which
You got the beard long, so you can. It helps out.
Yeah, and you know, you see all these guys, these old theosophers and philosophers and all that stuff, and they've all got long beards. And I think that's exactly what it is. It's their antenna thoughts.
Yep.
So you know, you're spot on, my friend. Spot on.
And I never thought about those little hairs at the bottom of the neck or in the back. Either with that. That was interesting. Good question. Good answer too, JP.
And, it was some days I get a kind of, hypersensitivity thing going. my girlfriend was just kind of, rubbing her hand across my face, you know, and as I said, I've got a beard. So it was like from my ear to my chin, just gently and lovingly. And I say, can you stop that? That's too loud. Because I can hear the sound of every hair being pinged.
Wow.
And it sounded like this.
Wow, and here she's trying to be all loving, but you're picking
and
up.
And I'm
like
being deafened by this thing in my, would you stop that?
And she's fine.
Poor love. She can't help it. But, you know, so here's the thing. Our hair receives sound waves. Definitely. Definitely, 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 you know. And if on a very quiet moment, just listen. Just, if you find yourself in a really, really quiet spot and it's dark and you know, just you and nothing else, just take your, just go to your sideburn. Where the hair is quite short, and just run your finger on it and see if you can hear that crackling.
Yeah, it's like sandpaper, sandpaper. Yeah.
And it's
why the Rills had long hair, do you think? Is that why they all those women?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. That's why they had long hair. Absolutely.
Because I always thought that was interesting about them.
Yes.
Like they had really long hair.
Yeah. And look at Samson.
Yeah.
Yeah. The idea, and Bob Marley and Rastafarians, they don't cut their hair in order to receive the signals of the source.
And I've read different things, though. I've read, too, that sometimes no hair, especially on the top of the head, and I don't know if it has to be natural or if you can do it, sometimes people will shave it totally bald if they're really spiritual because they feel like that opens up that area. So there's two different theories on it, but I definitely know the hair picks up signals.
Oh yeah, the monk's tonsure. Well, anyway, that's to me naturally, so I really can't comment on that.
So you're a monk.
Hands up, who's rubbing their sideburn? This is interesting because, like, you know, the physical body is a sensorium. It's incredibly. If you could design a robot arm with a robot eye that you could you could operate in a deep sea environment, for instance, that you sit in a little chair and you sit in the chair and you can move the body around and there's no resistance. You know, you can just move your body forward or backwards or whatever. And the robot body down there, will do as you command. That's it. That's what we are.
And then when we get older and we get more rigid, our body gets more rigid because we're losing that flow. And babies are real flowy, you know, like they're almost bendable. And
yeah,
they
because
don't break.
It comes through the liquid. It all comes through the liquid.
Yeah.
Like the wetware.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm, what was your name?
Daryl.
Daryl.
Sorry. There's something, there's something I kind of wonder about, on being able to receive, different frequencies. I kind of wonder if it's that, like the difference of the coarseness of hair, you know, like me, myself, you know, every time I went to the barber, they, you know, they always say, oh, you got baby fine hair, really fine hair. But I kind of wonder if, you know, different thicknesses of hair, you know, will receive different signals, kind of like, the age of people, like, you know, how, very younger people can hear high frequencies, and if you put out that, like, you know, put out a generator and put out that frequency, it'll hurt their ears, but older people can't even hear it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, the ultrasonics. You've got a good point, though. Really good point. And, you know, I'm thinking, how can we test this? How, you know, could we figure out a way of testing these ideas?
And we were kind of taught in beauty school that the texture, but this doesn't have anything to do with your question of vibration, like the coarser hair was to protect. It's protecting. It's thicker. It's coarser. But the fine hair.
Fine and coarse. Coarse and fine. Liver patty. Bring it to your door. Just send your donation. All right, so we'll be back in a few minutes, in a few beats of your pulsating heart. Good night. Don't go away.
I got to drop off. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Daryl. God bless you, mate. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the strangest accent in the universe. I don't know. You know, the French-Canadian accent is the worst accent in the world. I don't know why. It was my father's accent, and it was like, what are you, father? Are you Jamaican? No, sorry.
I think I like Jamaican accent.
It sounds a bit like a Jamaican. Oh, it's no bloody good. You know, that's how we used to speak all the time. You know, I can do it. I'm not imitating somebody's, like, racist accent. It was his accent, which was completely quite unique. Because there's only about 25 French Canadians, you know, they're like, and apparently, according to Sean, they all walk around with hotties on their
own.
So,
he's so
things
funny,
can't
Sean.
Things can't.
Did you ever live in Canada, or just your dad did?
Say again?
Did you ever live over in Canada?
No, I went there when I was 6 years old in 1967.
Okay.
And I haven't been back since.
Oh, okay. But your dad was from there.
But my dad was from there, yeah. He was a country boy from there.
Because Sean always says all the guys look like you over there.
That's right. Well, you know, there are, I don't know how many, but there are certainly several Jeremy Perrons in Quebec, in Montreal. Yeah, there are people with exactly the same name as me.
Wow.
And I don't know if they look
I wanted to...
Go ahead.
Ask you a question, because that's kind of interesting with the name frequencies being the same. And I meant to ask you before, and I just keep forgetting. It popped in my head on a break. You know, with the rays, and you know how astrology or numerology, like certain vibrations, are more compatible or get along better? Does that happen with the rays, too? And then what would be the difference between... like the monad, each person's monad or personality or soul, and like, are there some that just tend to clash because they're so different, or does it really work like that with the rays?
Of course it does.
I think
so. Okay. In music, a diminished second, which is one semitone, is a discordant sound.
Right. Okay.
So that's why, like, adjacent astrological signs are not compatible with each other generally.
Right. Like the trines. The trines will be for
the
sure.
Trines are. The trines are fine. Mm-hmm. And the trines correspond to a major third.
Okay.
The squares, I think, correspond to a minor third. Something like that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so go on. Try not to ask too many questions because this is a big question and it will take quite a long time to ask.
Well,
answer.
I was wondering in the complex of it too, what you're going to say is also, is it more important with the personality or the soul or the monad, or does it have to be like all of them in combination to the other person's combination? Okay, and I won't ask any more.
All right. Let's start back at how the chakras in the body relate to each other on an esoteric level. Because many of the lesser teachings say, well, you know, starts at the base and you work up to the top. That's what's known as a linear mind.
Right.
Okay, thinking, linear mind thinking, because, you know, it doesn't necessarily work like that. Nature doesn't work like that. It works in a spiral from the heart outwards. All right, so essentially there are three concentric circles.
Okay.
Just like Atlantis. Isn't that interesting? Three concentric circles. There's the first circle joins the, and this is the innermost circle, joins the heart and the solar plexus.
Oh.
The second circle outside of that joins the throat and the sacral center.
Oh, that happens in Orosoma too. Okay, yeah. Keep going.
And the third circle occurs from the crown to the base center. Crown-based transitions, yes? Okay.
That's a big circle. So is that the monad? Go ahead.
Yeah. Wait. Hold your horses, girl.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Whoa. All right, because we got a long way to go before we get to monads, all right? All right.
Okay.
Let's start first of all, the first alignment. So what I've just described is the alignment of the awakened consciousness being, where those three alignments are in alignment, when those three circles are fully in circuits, you know, and of course they connect. So what the reflection is point is the diaphragm. So there's above the diaphragm and below the diaphragm.
Right.
Above, so below. So, the above diaphragm centers are the ones that are, from the spiritual point of view, from the soul's point of view, i.e. the important one, these are the important ones, right? So, the higher center, the heart, the throat, the crown center, are the third, we won't talk about the third eye, it's like a different circuit, like a sub-circuit.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
Don't confuse things. All right. Cause the major ray occurs, ray one occurs through the crown center, ray two occurs through the heart center, ray three occurs through the throat center.
Ascension
happens 3-2-1.
Whoa.
Ascension happens, you connect with the third ray, the throat center. The throat center takes right relationship with the sacral center. And your healer clients will complain either of a sore lower back or a throat. And then if you query them, you'll say, if they've got a throat problem, you'll say, how's your back? And they go, oh. And if you say, how's my throat? They go,
okay.
That's the first initiation.
Okay. Wow.
This happens. It's kind of at the same time is the second initiation, which is the heart with the solar plexus. Now, the first connection brings the seventh ray in relationship to the third ray. And there's your first complementation. So the third ray is the throat center, communication. Seventh ray, generation, manifestation. Yeah. That's okay. Your sacral center. Okay. That's, you know, that's where your money, your children, your generation, your ideas, all that comes from sacral center. The heart.
Okay.
The heat source that I was talking about earlier on the other show.
Yeah.
So within the, that's called the first initiation where the throat and the sacral center happens. That's ray 3 for the throat, ray 7 for the sacral. So there's your first complementation. Rays 3 and 7 are complements.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
We're getting there, all right? You should write this down.
Okay, wait, now I've got to...
Listen, go and pull up the
archive. I'm sitting on the couch, but I'm getting a pen and paper.
It's all right.
Okay,
no,
I got it.
Just pull up the archive and pay attention now, and then you can listen to the archive later.
Oh, right. That's true. Okay.
All right, so the next one is the heart and the solar plexus center. Now, that is known as the second initiation, and that is the relationship between ray 2 and ray 6. Right?
Okay.
Ray 2 rules the heart, ray 6 rules the solar plexus. Now, as above, so below. What is above rules that which is above below, which is below, yes?
Okay.
You know? So, yeah. If you direct your consciousness, then your body will follow. If you're in right relationship. That's what right relationship means. It means knowing that ray 3 is in charge of ray 7. Ray 2 is in charge of ray 6. Ray 1 is in charge of ray 4. And that's the right relationship. And that's knowing your place. And that's knowing how the energies flow.
Wow.
That's complementation.
Okay, yeah.
That happens inside the body and in relationship and in societies.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, that's right. So you could see this even in a person's numbers, the way they're set up too, if they're going to be more discordant or not, maybe too. No?
Well, the discord comes in the resistance between, it's the ego. All right, so the personality ray is the ego, right?
Yeah.
It's how the ego will manifest. So if you've got a third ray personality, your ego will manifest in being able to make lots of excuses, making up stories, you know. If you're ray 7, your way of being an ego is to be very controlled and oversensitive or they're seductive. Another way of seventh ray is control.
Oh, I think I've dated a lot of those.
Yeah. To be very seductive because, sexuality can be used to control people, you see.
Right.
And, seventh ray is the master of sex. You know, it's the sacral center. It's the sex center, you know. So people with a strong seventh ray, they're like your sex workers. And there's nothing wrong with sex workers, you know. You know, it's just, you know, it serves one of the greatest needs that humanity has. And without prostitution, there would be a lot more violence, I'd say.
True.
You know, whatever people might say about it. Anyhow, it's a past life.
Yeah.
So look, your relationships here, therefore, are 2-6. Second ray to sixth ray.
Yes.
All right. So, for instance.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Well.
So that's all relationships? No.
Well, basically, most relationships are ruled by these two rays.
Right.
Do you love someone, or are you dependent on them? Are you
right? Like control or power, or is it love, heart?
Are you acting with blind faith, or are you acting with knowledge?
Okay.
Are your eyes open? Are you awake?
Okay.
You know, all this stuff.
Right.
And that is the opening of the heart center. Now, people have a feeling, oh, my heart is so open, I cry everything, you know. No, that's sentimental. That's ray 6.
Ah, okay.
You know, this, poor you. All the people who are saying poor you, that's not an open heart. That's exactly the opposite.
Okay.
Because if you did really feel what people felt, you wouldn't say poor you.
Right. Because you know they're processing or they're doing what they need to do.
Exactly. So that's real love. That's real love in action. Is not being pitiful of somebody, but being able to help someone, give them good advice or show them the right way or make do what you can, whatever it is that you can, to further their soul journey.
Right.
And if that means hanging up on them at that moment and saying, well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to deal with this alone, that's what you do. And a sixth ray healer will never do that. A sixth ray healer will try everything. Oh, because they're attached to the outcome.
Like kind of codependent or kind of
Literally codependent on their patients being made well by their healings. Do you see the difference?
Right. You know, I think I used to be. Can you change from a sixth ray to a fourth ray? Is that possible?
Your rays change all the time. And generally, people. All right, here we go. People with sixth ray in their makeup are here to burn off karma. All right, so
hopefully I've burned all mine.
Well, that's the thing. When you get to ray two, it means that you burned off the six. That's what it is. It's like
I see.
Right. So the sixth ray is reactivity. People who react don't respond. People who
I don't
fly
think
off
I burned all mine off yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. People who whose enthusiasm tends to bulldozer other people. You know.
Yes.
People who are of well intent. You know, they're kind of along the path, but they're still like puppy dogs. And
that's
not
me. I don't know. Do you think there's ever hope? And that's sixth ray?
Because it's still astral. It's still out of the body. It's not present.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's in a fantasy. You know, I'm having a, you know, people.
Oh, I got you.
You know, people, if you see somebody in a terrible condition, you have a little fantasy. Oh, what would I be like? How would I feel? You know, isn't it terrible? You know, that's just the fantasy world. You know, that's not the way it is. Do something about it. Don't get pitiful. Or do something about somebody that you know that is in that position.
Yeah.
You know, there's, as I said, don't curse the darkness, light a candle or switch on a light.
Yeah, that
one. Maybe I'll come up with a better one. I'll find a good one.
I like that one with the wind, but that's...
Yeah, don't put your candle in the wind. Yeah, that's a good idea. if you do have a candle in the wind, put it under a bucket and then everything's fine because there's wind and the wind will put the bucket will protect it from the wind. However, nobody will see it. So don't light your bushel and put the candle in the wind.
Okay.
So
2-6 relationship and 2 is always is above and 6 is below. So how does that work in relationship?
It's not, let's not say above, right? Because again, we're talking when you're thinking from a 6-ray point of view, there is above and below. When you're thinking from a second-ray point of view, there is center and outwards.
Oh, center and outward. Okay.
And it's an ever-expanding sphere. So whatever is within the surface of the sphere, that's my jurisdiction. That's my domain.
Okay.
And, you know, I care for everything within this. And that's what our planet's like.
Yeah.
That's the atmosphere. That's the soul of the planet. So, all right. So we've got these three complements. So we got the 2 and the 6. We got the 3 and the 7, and then we have the 1 and the 4. All right. So let me just illustrate how these three might relate. So, for instance, you may have here's some 2-6 relationships. A 2-6 would be a teacher. There's the 2. Mm-hmm. With a soldier, there's the 6.
Oh.
And these are not necessarily love and relationship partnerships, but generally they can be. Okay. So you would have the, again, you'd have maybe a healer and a priest. Do you see the difference? You see the difference and see the similarities?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both along the line of the love ray, the ray 2.
Right.
Yeah, they're soft rays. Except
different approaches.
Ray 6 is all about hydraulics.
Hydraulics,
wow. Yeah? Like inflatable things that go hard when you pump them hard. You know, a tire. Pneumatics. hydraulics, you know. You pump, you pump the liquid into it and it becomes hard. Yeah, it could be a polythene bag, but when you pump liquid into it, it becomes a hard thing. You hit somebody with it and they'll know about it, you know. So, that's pneumatics and hydraulics, and the sixth ray is all about that. It's about filling up the space. And that is the ray of the Piscean Age. The last 2,000 years have been the sixth ray. That's the astral plane. That's the lower cosmic astral liquid plane.
That's why the fantasy comes in, or the illusion, or they can tap in the astral.
Yes, yes. People with the sixth ray have a strong ability to enter bliss. And that's, you know, you see very new agey women, and they're all, they got the kind of blue cashmere, meditation blanket, and they're like, oh, I saw Archangel so-and-so L. And,
right.
And he said to me, you're doing it, and all this stuff. And it's all La La Land, you know.
Right.
Because a real Archangel would say, get up off your ass and get some exercise.
Right. You're wasting your,
You know what I'm saying? It's more about action and about than about being believed in. You know, angels don't really care whether you believe in them or not. It's handy, but it really doesn't matter to them. They still do their job, and so do we.
Right.
You know, we do our job.
Right.
All right. So.
Okay.
So relationship between ray two and ray six is that the ray six is like a believer, and somebody who follows orders, could be a company man. You know. Somebody who's dedicated and loyal and reliable and a die, you know, the diehards.
Yeah.
You know, you ever had like a women's institute or that sort of little meditation group meeting? The woman who is tidying up the chairs, mopping the floor, doing the washing up is the last to leave and has these eyebrows. She's got these eyebrows that point up in the middle.
Really?
You know what I'm talking about? She's the ultimate volunteer. She volunteers for everything. And she has worn her fingers to the knuckle. Knuckles to the bone. You know, she's the one who removes those spots, those stains on the floor. Can be a bit tiring. Can be a bit tiring. A little bit tiring. A little bit exhausting. A little bit, like, a little too much. Can you just roll that little energy thing about back a bit? You know, if you didn't do so much work, it would leave room for other people. Oh no, but I've got to do it. It would, you know, no.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
These are, and that's an example of sixth ray behavior.
Okay.
You understand? So it's this, it's over earnest. It's being so earnest that it blocks out everybody's creativity. It sucks all the
Right.
Yeah. And they know all the rules. They know all the laws. They all know, you know, they've done, read all the books. They don't understand them. They hear the words. They've read the words. They remember the words. They can quote the words, but they don't can get it.
You're right. Right.
Yeah. Because they're not in the heart. And that's where the spirit lies. There's no connection to the spirit in the solar plexus. It only reflects in the solar plexus. And you have to go through the heart, which is I am the way.
Oh, to get the,
To get to the spirit, you have to go through the heart, the second ray, which is.
Oh, okay. So second ray is the heart.
Great. Yeah.
Because I already got confused on, because your chakra thing connections were a little different. Because you had heart and solar plexus connected, and then you had the crown and the root, or first, seventh and first. And then what was the other one?
Throat and sacral first. The first ring is the middle ring, the center ring. Throat and sacral.
Okay.
Then the second initiation is the middle ring, which is this half solar plexus.
Yes, what we're talking about.
Until you have four clear chakras in your body, there is no point in connecting your top and bottom. No point whatsoever.
I got you. Okay, you're right. Okay, makes sense.
That's why, and now it all makes sense.
Yes.
You clear the torso, and then it's clear. Right, and the fifth ray... The fifth ray kind of tags along because it's just kind of watching all the stuff. That's dealing with the information. And that's the brow center. When the fifth ray finally stays in the brow center, you no longer are in fantasy. You're actually seeing reality as it is happening minute by minute, miracle by miracle. You're witnessing the miracles as they happen.
Cool.
And you're in the state of revelation. That's what the fully awakened conscious human being is like. And so, when we're talking about like somebody who's in constant meditation, well, that's
what
it is. Because you're in revelation. You're seeing it.
Wow. Like a walking meditation. Like you're just living it.
A being meditation.
Yes. Yeah.
Just pure.
Well, that's what I'm... Yeah.
Yeah. Just beingness. Everything you're
like,
doing.
Like, yeah, as you're just moving around. You're just always in that. Yeah. Wow.
Cool, eh?
Cool. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Yeah, the seven, cause the only ones that I've heard of before connecting is the sacral and the throat, only because of orthoma. But I didn't know about the heart and the, you know, the levels, cause that's a raise, I guess. So the heart and the solar plexus and then the crown to the root. I'm confused.
Okay, so those are the 3 degrees. Those are the 3 degrees of initiation. The first connects the three with the seven. The second connects the second and the sixth. The third connects the first and the fourth.
Okay.
So the lesson first is the material world. The third ray and the seventh ray is the material world. Learning to manipulate third ray, matter, seventh ray. Learning to communicate third ray and build seventh ray.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right, so you can't build a civilization, a society, without communication.
Communicating, right. Okay, got you, and that's first initiation.
That's the first initiation.
So like our planet, where's our planet in this? Are we in the second initiation?
Well, you tell me. Let me go through the second initiation. So the first initiation, and this is the first time when your sacral center starts pulsing with the seventh ray. Because it's been in a position of being, pulsing with the fifth ray for a very long time. This is what we call fallen humanity. This has been the problem. Okay. Mm. So, we then bring the seventh ray into relationship with the third ray in the sacral center. This then pulls the fourth ray from the brow center down to the base center. By creating a vacuum in the base center, it brings that fourth ray back down to where it belongs in the base center.
Oh.
Which then gives us what's called skill in action, which is, you know, being able to do parkour, stuff like that. And that then brings up the fifth ray to the brow center where we then start seeing revelation and we're in that walking meditation all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the ultimate aim. But that's when all three initiations have been completed.
Exactly. Now,
with the second initiation, you're then dealing with that which you're told and that which you desire.
Oh.
That which you're commanded and that's what you want. You see?
Okay, now. That you're commanded or that you command?
What do you call it when there's the thing that you've always really, really, really wanted to do? What do you call that?
You desired or your dream or?
No, it's a special word. Nearly there. Desire is right. Well, what do they say? Your something desire.
Heart's desire. Exactly. Oh, that's why. Cause it's
boom. Your heart's desire is your soul. Because the nature of soul is love. Let me say that again. I say it with my Barry White voice. The nature of soul is love. Because it really is. The nature of soul is love. And the love ray, the second ray of love wisdom, is the ray of the soul. It's the ray of the Christ.
Right.
And it's the ray of the soul ray of the new group of world servers. Or the indigos, or whatever you might call them, the crystals, all these people, all together, they're all initiates of the Logos, who is the source of the esoteric teachings that I speak of.
Yeah, we had Logos in Orosoma too. That's okay. Right.
Yeah, the Orosoma is a development from people who study the same stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So,
then what?
Go ahead. Okay. Then what?
Oh, no. Keep going. So that was 2-6. So then what's 1-4?
Okay.
Or,
so,
are you done with
2-6? No, no. We're not done with 2-6 yet. Jesus. 8 3/4.
I know. I'm joking.
Because 2-6 is the big one. It is what the world is going through right now.
That's what I felt like we were in the 2-6.
Yeah. Right now, America has a Ray package, 2-6. Second Ray soul, 6-ray personality. Yeah. That's why America's such a pain in the ass. I'm sorry, guys, but.
Yeah, the
6-ray personality is that big, boisterous ego that goes around interfering in everybody's pies, trying to own everything, trying to say everything that belongs to it.
Right.
That I thought of this, and it's mine, this is mine, and it's just like an infant.
Right.
Mine. No, that's, we bought you that. No, mine. You know, it doesn't understand because all it sees is mine or not mine.
Right.
You're either with us or against us.
Right. Yeah, there's that.
All of that duality.
That everybody has.
Us.
That autoimmune disorder. Yep. Nobody can get along. Okay. Wow.
All right. So
that's
also, that's the, when contention, i.e. rarity, then comes on the scene, the 6-ray starts getting really in a pickle and, it starts becoming the ego, right? It starts being, competitive. It starts.
Well, because you said it hasn't connected through the heart yet, so it's still kind of external or ego instead of spiritualized yet.
Yeah.
Even though
it
thinks it is.
Everything that is externalized.
Mm-hmm.
Every ism, people, every ism is a 6-ray construct. And what people who have a strong 6-ray don't realize is that there is something else. There are 6 others. It's like there is more than one person here in this room, more than this egotistical little infantile person.
Right.
Right. And has been sitting center stage. And in this final period of the age of the 6th ray.
Mm-hmm.
It goes completely mad, and that's where we're
cattywomper. Yeah, which is what's happening.
That's right. So, now here's the thing.
Okay.
What has to happen? Well, because it's initiation, and initiation, you are pressurized until you snap into the next stage.
Mm-hmm.
You evolve. So,
right.
What's the process of evolution from the lower centers to the higher centers? Instead of being ruled by your 6th ray, which is your belief systems, which is, oh, those brown people, they're bad.
Yeah.
Into your heart, which is, I am.
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
I'm there.
How can I help you? Other people no longer become a problem because you are now proactive instead of retroactive.
Okay.
If you think
that ties in with our theme today.
Yeah. If you think that just hating on someone is going to make any difference.
Right.
Then you're not being proactive, are you? You're just cursing. You're just cursing the darkness.
In victimhood and blaming.
Exactly.
Victim and blaming.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I'm very excited. You're kind of expressing this excitement that I have that this thing has not failed me in 4 hours. I've been online since 4 o'clock this afternoon. It's now half past midnight and it's still up and running. And
because you always have problems, especially from 3 o'clock on. I mean, even on your shows, on your radio.
Exactly.
I know. Oh, my
and
God.
Now.
You had him yesterday. Had him yesterday.
Exactly. But now everything's good. So things are changing. And
yes. We moved it to 1 to 4 when it was.
Yeah, well, no, we've eliminated the issue.
Eliminated the issue.
It's now on another timeline. We've left that one behind.
Good.
We're now on the good timeline.
Thanks.
And every time something like this happens, it pushes you onto the good timeline. Every time you say, I can use more money, and you get, and you find, you know, you find a $5 bill in the pocket.
Yeah.
Just go about your day and money will come to you. I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. It will happen. Just relax. Yeah. So.
Okay.
It's all possible. You see, what I'm trying to prove is that I am an ordinary guy. I'm nothing special. And yet I can take these principles and then, express
magic happens.
Yeah. Express them, an everyday magical, event that is actually a natural
part
of human reality. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. It seems special till you realize it was always there and we can always have it. And it's just knowing it, not even believing, just knowing, just it is, it is.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. It is as it is, but there's the idea about knowing and believing. So let's just take a little excursion. Number one.
Okay. Okay.
Opinion is not truth.
True.
Now, honestly, opinion really isn't truth. And that goes for scientists as well. Because so, you know, somebody's theory is still not truth. It's just still a theory. Or it's still a theory.
Right.
And it's no worse a theory.
Right. You see that all the time because they change it all the time. Salt's good for you. Salt's bad for you. The earth is this. The earth is that. The this star is that. That exists. All. They're just guessing. They're just like, oh, that seems right. That sounds good for now.
Yeah. So
then everybody thinks that's the way it is and it'll always be.
Yeah. Because these people have something that they believe gives them authority.
Right.
Right.
They got to figure it out.
Well, that authority is given to them by some group of controlling agents, isn't it? You know, who gives you authority? Your society, the society of this or that. You know, if you're a healer, you've got to go to the healer society, and the people go to the healer society say, is this woman all right, or am I going to be abused by this person while I'm asleep on her couch? You know, I'm not talking about you, but, you know, this is what happens. But we need a sense of safety because we don't have our own discernment that draws us to good stuff and away from bad stuff. That discernment comes back to the hair.
I hope he's listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
Carol.
To take, you know,
it comes back to
it. Always comes back to how you are able to sense your surroundings.
That's
true. Do you need to walk around with a leather jacket just in case your skin is punctured by a thorn? Or do you just avoid the bramble bush?
Right. Yeah, because you don't want to go around in fear, but you want to go around in awareness. Like, and just go discern, right.
Yeah, and it's not about, like, bursting with love or, you know, oh, I'm so loving and I'm always loved. It's just being and acknowledging, you know, the bird flies past and you say, hello, bird. And the bird goes twitter, twitter. And, you know, you go to the tree and the tree waves its branches at you and you recognize the tree is saying hello. And you say, hello, tree. And because it's all part of a natural flow and that nobody's sitting there thinking,
which
what
we've
an
been disconnected from hugely.
Yeah.
Hugely. That's one of the big problems here. We're disconnected from the earth, from nature, from being and from each other. And it's time for that to end.
Well,
in my opinion, which is on that.
It's happening. That's what's happening. Look.
It is happening. Yeah. I know. I'm so excited. Okay.
So tell me, January,
mm-hmm.
the month of Janus, looking back and looking forward, in looking back over the last year
mm-hmm.
and looking forward to the next year, for yourself, Deb, what have mm-hmm. you chosen proactively to happen in your life?
Wow.
Let's put it another way.
I've got a few things.
You got a few things. You know, you probably thought there's things that you want to change in your life, but I'm phrasing it a different way.
Okay.
What are you proactively choosing to do?
Enjoy. Basically, the main one. Enjoy myself, you know, appreciate myself, appreciate others, and be good to myself and be good to others. Those are the two basic things, because I've been good to others, but I haven't always been good to myself, I don't think. So, I don't know. I went through a big shift this last year. And just gravitate towards the things that bring me joy. I mean, I know everything doesn't, but it can. I mean, why would I choose different? You know, why did I choose differently? But not anymore.
So, in terms of your living situation, are you happy with that? You've got everything
love it.
Down on
yeah, I've been here 7 years, still love it. Yep. Living's good. My area is beautiful. The people around me are good. Now I'm working on that. If I decide to have anyone else in my life, which has been a very unclear thing in my life, now it has to fit in with the rest, you know? And my health is good. Everything's good. Pretty good. Hard to complain.
Well, good.
Maybe that's why I'm so happy.
Yeah, that's why you're happy and excited. I think, you know, and you have the happiness and excitement of a young person who hasn't been ground down by the system you know, turned into a sad, depressed, bullied person. So well done for that.
Yeah, and I could have gone the other way. You could have. We all can, you know. Yeah. It's a choice. It really is.
Maybe somewhere in some parallel universe, there's you in a black uniform, and maybe a whip.
Oh my! What, my shadow side?
Yeah. You know, maybe. You know, we all have there's a Nazi JP. You know, he's really mean.
Oh no! Yeah, they said I've been in the military before, and I worked with a dominatrix, but I don't have it in me in this life. I'll tell you, I couldn't do it. But yeah, I'm sure I have that side because I can definitely be dominant. You know, so. But yeah, that's when I see you always trying to get me off on that. I'm like, no, that's our private conversation.
I see. All right. yeah, I'm not allowed to discuss that sort of thing on or off the air these days. Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Did I answer your question okay, or I'm not sure.
Thank you. By the way, Daryl, Stardust Man, walk barefoot upon Mother Earth. Yeah, that's a really good thing to do.
Yes.
Grounding. Electrical. You know, yes. I was talking, who was I talking with before about, I was talking with somebody about it before.
The poles reversing, or the negative positive, or the ground?
No, about living on electricity.
I did hear you talk about that.
I was talking with Ro about this, yeah. At some level, if these frequency restrictions were removed from us, that we would be able to live on light and we wouldn't need food.
Yeah, that's the part I was digging. I heard all of that because I'm a wannabe breatharian. And you said, like, we could generate our own energy. We wouldn't even, you know, need to get it from the light necessarily. I hadn't heard that before. Mm. That was interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a plasma spark in our heart, isn't there?
Yes.
Which, by the way, Daryl was mentioning earlier on the chat room, yeah, there is brain cell material inside the heart as well, neurons.
Isn't it in the stomach, too?
Yeah. And so these are our gut reactions, our feelings, you know, our feelings, literally. That's what our feelings are, is the action of these brain cells inside our body.
Right.
Deep inside our body. Deep. All right. Sorry, I'm just loving my audio that doesn't break up. I'm just
I'm not on, so I don't get to see it. But so you haven't cut out, like they haven't had to refresh or anything.
No one has had to refresh since 4 o'clock this
afternoon.
Yay!
Yeah,
I know.
Wow,
it's really good.
That's amazing.
So
okay, so I'm sorry, we got off track somewhere.
Where were we? So
but two and six.
Yeah, you know, okay. Let's just go back to there. So the two and the six, and so it's let your heart be the master. You know,
right?
Here's an example of a 2-6 moment for me. In 1989, I was on my way to work, and I came out of the tube station, the underground railway station, and crossed the road. And halfway across the road, the thought, bang, Russell Street. It was just down the road from Tavistock. The thought, maybe, but anyway, the thought crossed my mind, sod this for a game of soldiers. You know, I thought, what's the point of going to work every day? I get up in the morning, I go to work, I use my head, it starts to hurt. I go home, I eat, I sleep, I watch TV,
right.
I go to sleep, and it starts over again. What's the point?
Right.
You know, is this all to life? In a
that was
respect?
At your first Saturn return, I think you said. It was
yeah,
right
that was
around
about
that
then.
Time.
That was about then.
Yeah.
And yeah. as I, that was the moment when I sought common sense. Now, common sense is mm-hmm. neither common nor always sensible, but
it's so true.
It's a it's
heart-directed.
The output of the heart. I mean, it's like the heart, all right? The heart. Different. Here's the way to tell the difference between your heart and solar plexus. Because most of the time, we've got a kind of blockage below the neck. We don't really feel what's going on down there unless it's really intense, like somebody's having sex with us. All right. Hello. You know, kind of thing. Most of the time, we're kind of numbed to it all because of the...
Yes.
Because of our mind control. That's what mind control does. It numbs our body's responses. When
wow.
you start to release these things, when you start doing inner child work, you start gaining mm-hmm. access to these inner senses once again. The sense of the heart is the sense of what's right and what's wrong for you. You know, it's just like,
right.
it just knows. It's just the know. It's like,
right.
Like the real
even though your
best.
Parents or society will say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You need to do this. But
yeah.
but you know. But most people aren't brave enough to follow it. And
but
then
the
they
thing,
just fall back
it's
to
your
the
solar
line.
Plex. Your solar plex is where that other stuff is held.
Oh.
Because
okay.
of the linearity of the growth, we mm-hmm. act out of our solar plexus. That's the highest form of acting out is out of our solar plexus, wow. which is basically religious dogma. Or rule following. Do you understand? It's
right.
the same energy.
Yes.
Yeah. So you okay. either, somebody is, yes, sir, sir, yes, sir, obedience.
Right.
You know, or, you know, you follow belief systems or you're superstitious. It depends on your personality ray, really.
Right.
For instance,
okay.
The magical seventh ray, comes out mm-hmm. as a kind of superstitious. Everything is an omen. Everything is a meant to be. It's tiresome.
Oh, kind of somebody like that.
It's tiresome. Everybody rolls their eyes when they, you know, they get their paycheck or they get their receipt from the supermarket and they add up the numbers and it comes up to seven and it's, oh my God. And everybody rolls their eyes and they're like, oh, really?
I know somebody. Yes.
Them again.
Yes.
That's a seventh ray personality acting through its glamour of superstition.
Okay.
As opposed to the seventh ray in its higher form, which will literally put its hand on exactly what it needs, because the hands are ruled by the seventh ray, healing hands, Reiki.
Oh.
Will literally put
really?
Their hand on what they need, move it from place to place with no wastage.
Wow. So hands are ruled by seventh ray. Okay.
Because they're the things that construct things. Without hands, yeah, if we had flippers, it wouldn't work.
Flippers aren't bad.
You know, you can't really play piano with flippers.
No, that's, well, yeah, maybe yeah. that's one note. Yeah,
so,
okay.
You know, the bad chords. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so, six ray, secondary relationship is that the six ray gets excited about things. It's like the puppy dog.
Yeah.
And the seventh ray is like the owner that says, now, Fido, calm down. You know, and gives a little jerk to the collar And Fido says, sorry. Sorry, I got carried away.
Right.
like Ryan in Family Guy when he sees the black guy. And he's, I'm sorry. And this is the, you know, that's intellect or, intellect over over instinct.
Okay.
It's the next stage up.
Okay.
The stage over intellect is intuition.
Right. Okay.
But at least you get intellect over instinct. Instinct is, those brown people, we all got to kill them. Send them all back home. That's really practical. Second ray is like, well, we've got some space over here. Maybe they can make some stuff out of it. Here's some stuff, you know, have a camp. And that's what, you know, people are doing this. You know, there are camps of them, and they're bringing tent materials, wood, timber, and people are making their own little houses. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just running from the most evil thing that you've ever seen, which is created by, let's say the military-industrial complex housed in the Pentagon. But anyway.
We got to do one four before we run out of time.
You've got to be responsible, because that's what, you know, you're creating that karma.
Yes. Yeah, but
all that stuff is fermented, but it's the result on a large scale of what happens when you squeeze people out of their country. You know?
I know.
So, there's the sixth ray. The sixth ray is the world as it is. Okay. And here, there are the lone, calm voices in the wilderness. Who are truly loving the world, but are not interfering because the world has to come to them.
Right.
Because if they go out in the world, they'll just be sliced down.
Slaughtered.
Yeah, and that's what happens every time. So maybe another ploy, maybe another strategy. Okay, maybe those who have fallen and been crushed under the machinery and are damaged, who can finally see that that's what the nature of the machine is, they can come to us. And that's what Wall Spirit Radio is about.
Ah, bravo.
Anyway, so when you say the planet, what stage is the planet at?
Act 2, 6.
We're at the second initiation. This is the second initiation of the planetary being.
Okay.
And the battle that is going on is the battle, not between black and white, left and right, because that it's the battle between what's going on outside and what's going on inside. And if going on inside is nothing and calm, then that takes precedence. That's how you feel.
That's why it says it starts with you. There's no war in you. There's no war outside.
And all things of duality, us and them, Rothschilds, East, West, all of that duality, that's all remaining in the sixth ray of you haven't got what I want, or you've got what I want.
Right. You're right. I'm excited. I got sixth ray excitement, but I don't have that.
Yeah.
So.
But that's where it ends up, you see. And here's what people don't realize is that every day, you know, when you allow yourself to get wound up, when you allow yourself to get put into fear by listening to the news, and you hear something scary on the news, they just pulled you down into your solar plexus.
Yeah, fight or flight too messes up a lot of things in your body also.
Yeah,
with the cortisol and adrenals. Okay. Wow. Okay, cool. So we're going to, we're in the second, but then and then you have to have the third initiation before, like, everything's connected in our world, and then it's supposedly.
Let's put it this way.
The highest.
No. You're just starting. Listen, the first and second initiations are merely preparation. Preparation.
Okay.
People have spent lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, sometimes hundreds of lifetimes, getting through the first initiation because they just can't let go of that material outlook.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first attempt at spiritualization is first initiation. Second attempt is a second initiation. And it can take a lot. And during that time, you get a little bit of power. And you start creating a lot of karma because you think, oh, I've just discovered spirituality. I'm going to go around telling everybody all about how clever I am and how wonderful my spirituality is. No, recognize that one? And you create an awful lot of karma, and a lot of people think you're a complete and utter nut after that.
Okay.
Right. But let me tell you, after the third initiation, you don't care.
Right.
It doesn't change, but you don't care about it. So the second initiation is the one where everybody in the truth movement is.
Okay.
Everybody is.
They're like pointing things out, but it's still right or wrong, and instead of taking
still
action
in the battle.
Towards.
Still in the battle.
Right. Right.
All right, because the world is in the battle. We're all in the battle. That's why I say the Third World War happens inside us.
Okay.
I've been saying that for several years, actually. Mm-hmm. But that it's all about it's not the fight. It's the acceptance of the polarity. Not the fight between the polarity, which one's right and which one's wrong, which is stupid, right? But, you know, you're either with me or you're against. No, actually, you're both wrong. You know, anyway. There is a condition when you douse, you know, is it right?
Yeah.
Is it wrong? Is this true, false, or have I asked the wrong question?
Yeah.
You know, think about this. Mm-hmm. There, most people who are stuck in the sixth rate are asking the wrong question.
Mm.
You know, who's good and who's bad? You know, people say, oh, I read the news and now I don't know whether what's true or not. Who's good and who's bad? Well, that's your job. That's why you're here. And that is the second initiation. Who is true?
Okay.
Who is false? That's how you do it. And you do it by experiencing it. You do it by making mistakes. You do it by falling into traps. You do it by coming out of those traps and learning the lesson of it. Punkt.
Wow. I didn't know we were going to get all this tonight. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm sorry. I'm getting a bit passionate about this.
No, I like it.
It's true. This is a true story. This is what it's really, really all about. It's about the way we move energy within us, between us, and the. Clear your lower centers. Get into your heart, and let your heart be the leader. Get into right relationship, and then we can talk about crown and base. Brothers and sisters,
okay,
I love you all.
Congratulations.
Good night. Good night, Debs. Bless your heart.
On your computer. Congratulations.
Good night.
Bye-bye.